The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests, and are not those of Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements of any radio show programs or products mentioned on air, on our website, social media accounts and marketing materials. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.
Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you for tuning in and welcome back to The Songwriter Show. I'm your host, Sorontos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are very important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every Tuesday evening. I believe in my heart that every song is a story. The Songwriter Show is broadcast live on number one ranked Pesmo Radio and has listeners in all 206 countries in the world and every state in the U.S. The station is licensed with ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, and SoundExchange, and has partnerships throughout the music industry, including iHeartRadio and exposure to over 300 million listeners. Tonight's guest is Whitten. Growing up in a musical family of six kids ensured her talents were nurtured. She toured nationally as a singer-songwriter from an early age, building important relationships and a thriving fan base through social media, film, TV, and commercial featured song placements worldwide. A consummate artist, Whitten is a musician, foodie, spirits aficionado, and co-founder of El Sativo Tequila, a USDA Organic Single Estate award-winning tequila of the year. It debuted in the fall. Whitten's new hypnotic four-song EP is called Backwards. It has a compelling introspective of the human condition that paints an honest perspective through her vulnerable lyrics and romantic melodies. The final track on this EP is a classic love song from the original Blade Runner 1982 film called One More Kiss, Dear, which features iconic actor Edward James Olmos, as well as many other more notable musicians.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Whitten. How are you doing tonight?
Yes, you were cutting out there just for a second.
Thanks for having me, Toronto. You're welcome. That's how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great now.
are you enjoying the new year? You're like the first guest of the year. So how is the new year better than last year?
Oh man, so far yes it is. I'm looking forward to this year. It has such a bright light at the end of the tunnel, and there were so many lessons from last year that were actually very, you know, you learn from them, and it brought things to the surface to recognize about yourself and your life and relationships, and I see it in a very positive light.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you say that. It seems like you're a very positive person, as am I, and I think sometimes people can get trapped in quicksand or negativity and, you know, forget last year, it's over, this year will be better, and that's all we can focus on.
Yeah.
So tell us about your musical family. Was that awesome or was that torture?
Oh, it was so wonderful. My parents actually decided before they got married that they wanted to have a family of six kids because the classic film Sound of Music. So we grew up in a very musical family. My mom played ukulele and sang, and she was a photographer and a nutritionist, and my dad was an actor in Hollywood when they met. So I was raised around music and entertainment, and so it was quite easy to slip into entertainment in my career because of it.
Yeah, absolutely. What did you first do musically, and how old were you when you did it?
Oh goodness, I was about 5 years old. I dazzled all the old age homes in the casino in Reno, Nevada, because that's where I'm from, in a all singing, dancing girls group called Sunshine Generation. And we'd wear these little gold outfits and, you know, dazzle around town. And yeah, that was my very first get-go. And then I was involved in a bunch of community theater throughout the casinos throughout my adolescence.
Yeah, you know, I've been to Reno once, and it's an interesting place. You know, it's definitely different than Vegas, but it's interesting.
Yeah, it is. It was very interesting for me because I went to Catholic school. So I definitely rebelled a little bit. So it was pretty entertaining growing up around casinos and in a family of six kids, no less. So I'm very thankful that I grew up in Reno. There was a lot to do. But it was also the safest place compared to where I live now, which is Los Angeles. But I am very thankful that I grew up in Reno.
Yeah, cool. And tell us a little bit about your journey. Sounds like you're chugging along here, but tell us, what's the most exciting part for you right now?
Honestly, you know, because of 2020 and everything surfacing and realizing a lot of things and the things that are important. And I chose this year, or actually 2020, to release my 4-song EP because of all the devastation that was going on. I thought it was a very appropriate time lyrically to connect with people. And, you know, my single off the 4-song EP is called Cars Mars. And it's about, you know, us being disconnected just as with each other in relationships. And at that time when I wrote it, I was bartending in Los Angeles downtown, and I was taking care of my grandfather for 9 years. So I was living this very parallel, you know, interesting life of, you know, being super, super busy, hustling, you know, playing shows as much as I could and bartending, but then going home to, you know, feed my grandfather and take care of him. So I just started to realize, you know, all the little things didn't matter. What mattered was, you know, taking care of my grandfather and having the ability and, you know, the special time with him at 92 years old. I don't think many people get to spend quality time with their grandparents or that or their family.
Yeah, I think you're right. I got to know mostly my dad's father, and I love my grandfather, and I wish I would have spent even more time with him than I did, but it's something that I think we should treasure.
Yeah. Yeah. So this year, even though, you know, it wasn't a great time for musicians to release material because obviously we couldn't tour, and although social media became much, much bigger because that was our only outlet to do these online streaming concerts and things like that. But, you know, since I've been in the spirit industry for as long as I have, for 15 years, and with my family, about 25, moving to Los Angeles, we all became bartenders. You know, how do you survive in a big city? So we became bartenders. We waited tables. We did what we could do to survive and still do our art. But, you know, we all have an interest in the spirit industry, too, with creating and cultivating with food and pairing with beverages. And so there's definitely a passion there for me and my siblings. And so that's how we got into the tequila business, because, you know, tequila is our favorite spirit. It is one of the only stimulants for a spirit. And so, yeah, in 2020 also, I released a single to celebrate National Tequila Day, which was on July 24th. And it's just a fun song to salute and celebrate tequila.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about this. At this point in your career, what is your number one passion?
I think innately, when I wake up in the morning and when I go to sleep at night, it's music. It's music is medicine. Even if I'm not touring, even if I'm not focusing it on every day, it's something that's so innate in me and ingrained that I will forever do it.
Yeah.
You know, write and perform, you know, shows and record. I really have a strong interest in film and TV placement music, cinematic music. And, you know, from this EP, you'll be able to hear those elements in film and TV. Visuals for me is the best.
Yeah. When did you get into the film and TV? Because that's a whole other arena, you know, the placements and cues and all that. When did you get into that?
So about 8 years ago, I released an album called Rare Bird, and it definitely has a lot of influences of jazz and big band. And as a self-taught musician, I play guitar. I play a lot of odd meter music. And, you know, it's very much like, you know, in the same realm of Joni Mitchell or Jeff Buckley. And being a self-taught musician, jazz players were the only ones who I could jam with, who understood my music. So going into that and finishing that album and then getting a handful of placements in, commercial ad work and film and TV, I started to realize, wow, visual and sound is exactly what I want to do. Even though I love performing on the stage, and I toured for a long time, sleeping on people's couches and hustling, playing 3 or 4 shows a day. And, you know, that begins to wear and tear on you. And so until I could, you know, be backed by a major label or funding to allow myself to perform at the proper places for my music, I started to realize I could make money by staying home.
Yeah, what a concept, right?
I know, and getting these commercials, and I just got, you know, more satisfaction with seeing my music come alive visually. And then, you know, getting the gratification from fans that would see my song on a, you know, Gossip Girl commercial or something like that, and then them recreate my song on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, where people really can connect with your music. Yeah, so that's how I got into it. And I love classical music, being, you know, again, odd metered jazz, a little bit of industrial and cinematic. I mean, that really brings alive a scene. So the last album, it's been 8 years, and now this is my first release for this 4-song EP, where I really 120% wouldn't change one thing about it. And I don't know if many artists can actually say that for, because we're so quick.
Absolutely. I've never said that about my stuff, so that's great.
Yeah.
So we have a question. One of our listeners, Jeremy, is asking, basically he seems confused about using publishers, not using publishers, and he's asking if you have any advice in the film and TV arena that you're successful in.
Well, you know, I think in any business, it really comes down to relationships. And I have to say that being the hustler that I am and playing all these shows and going out and meeting all these people, obviously this last year we haven't been able to do that in person. However, developing relationships and, you know, being able to, those are most of my placements, by the way. And you know, going back to his question with publishers, the publishers are the middleman. So if you really want to connect with people who can not be the middle person, I would suggest going to supervisors. I mean, there's so many supervisors now that, you know, do film and TV and commercials. And so, but a publisher, if you get one of those deals for a publishing company, they have those relationships already intact. So you kind of have to pick your battles. But all in all, to answer his question, it's about developing relationships. Hands down, that's been my most success.
And do you believe in exclusive relationships with publishers, non-exclusive, or do you do both?
I mean, I've had exclusive publishing deals, and the certain company that I did work with for those 3 songs, one of the particular the songs, they did, you know, so much for. I got an international commercial with like a Target company called Elos, and it aired for over a year. So that was one of my biggest placements. And so for me, yes, it did work out really well. So you have to be super choosy too, and really research and do a background check on who's pushing your music if you're going to do something exclusive.
Yeah, what do you think of some of the platforms like Taxi, Music X-Ray? Good, bad, tried them?
You know, I was on Taxi, oh my goodness, probably 12 to 15 years ago, a long time ago. And my sister was actually helping me with that because we had an album together. And we didn't see much success from it. You know, there are these companies that definitely they're a business. They need to make money. And, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't say that it did much success for us, but other people could be different.
Yeah. Okay. Tell us a little bit about the song we're going to hear in about 2 minutes here. What inspired it? You told us a little bit about it already, but can you expand on it a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, so taking care of my grandfather really helped me realize what was important in bartending downtown Los Angeles. I mean, we really, like, among the chaos, we as humans in this society right now, sometimes invest our time in, like, the quick and easy stuff, you know, rather than the important things that take care and time. I wanted this song to bring consciousness, you know, to the importance of relationships and to each other and to our planet, you know, especially in the environment that we live today. Again, I thought it was the right time to release it because of all the devastation that has happened in 2020. And people needing connection. I think that's one thing that a lot of people struggled with in 2020, were feeling isolated and not being heard, and being alone.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's take a listen to this song, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more, okay?
Perfect.
All right, everybody, check this out. Here we go. Wonderful. Well, that was a really cool song. Thank you so much for sharing that with us and the listeners.
Oh.
I was going to ask you if there's anyone you'd want to be in a room with, you know, musician, dead or alive. And I understand you've worked with some famous people too, so maybe you can bring that into the conversation here.
Right. Well, I already mentioned the song for El Sativo, right, for National Tequila Day. I mean, other than the last track on the EP, I actually got to do a duet with the iconic actor Edward James Olmos, which was really fun. If there's Blade Runner fans out there, they'd appreciate that.
Yeah, that's cool.
He was in both. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so Edward James Olmos played Stand and Deliver, he played Gaff in Blade Runner. Yeah, with this four-song EP, I just got to work with the best musicians that I've met. And one of the musicians, who's actually a singer, and back in the day, he was in his prime before he even started acting, and it's Edward James Olmos. And on the last track, we got to cover a song together from Blade Runner. So if you're a fan of Blade Runner 1982, he was in both. He was in the first one as Gaff and also the second one. And Gaff, he had a very small part in, but we got to cover the classic love song. And if you're familiar with the soundtrack of Blade Runner in the first one, the only lyrical song in there was called One More Kiss, Dear. And it's been one of my favorite love songs forever. And it was produced by a good friend of mine, Alexander Burke, and then another producer named Chris Mullins. And anyway, we got to do a duet together, and it was just a very special moment for me because I've always been a huge fan of Eddie.
Just a little bit. You know, COVID was tough for everybody last year, but tell us a little bit about how you balance work and life and your tequila thing.
Well, I think, you know, I'm always looking at the light at the end of the tunnel, and I was born to be a creative, and that really helps my passion, because when I'm creative and have the opportunity to be creative, it really fills a void for me. And I am a doer, so I'm not okay with being a garage band. If I make a song, then I want it to go to the top. You know, I do 120% for everything. And so this last year, you know, releasing the song for El Sativo, you know, the accolades that we achieved for just being a new innovative tequila, we won 4 double gold medals. So that, of course, lifted our spirits literally. and it was fun to make a song, you know, in celebration for National Tequila Day. So, I am extremely busy every single day, as I know you are as well. But just keeping that passion there and being creative as much as possible and really focusing on the important things and quality of life. And El Sativo as a tequila is one of the most quality tequilas out there on the market. So I'm very proud of it. And I'm very proud of the EP and the single for El Sativo that I released last year. So I couldn't really be happier.
Wonderful. One of the questions I like to ask every guest on the show is about scams. Tell us about something you might have fallen for, or something that you want to warn the rest of us about so we can all protect each other.
Ooh. That's a loaded question. Let me think about that. A lot of scams. I mean, not right off the bat, but I mean, with meeting people, sometimes you have to develop the ability to read people and really be cautious and take your time and develop relationships and you know, don't jump into things too quickly without really, you know, doing your research and, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of scams out there. So I would say for me, just, you know, not overthinking it, is relationships. I've ran into some bad apples out there and
yeah,
learned my
have.
Lesson.
Jennifer, one of our other listeners, has a question about your music specifically. And her question is, how did you get people to take you seriously in the film and TV arena?
It's just about developing relationships, you know, once people get to know you and see how serious you are and, you know, you producing a quality product, that will make anybody listen.
Okay. Yeah, that's simple enough. When you look at your trajectory, you said you toured a lot, and obviously, like a lot of people, you're not touring as much now. Do you have any advice for people just starting on touring?
Well, you know, my advice to really move mountains on an independent level, you have to hustle and you have to think outside the box. You know, be creative with your merch, with engagement. You know, we're in a world now that everything's at our fingertips. So use those tools as best as you can and research. I booked 3 or 4 shows a day when I would book these tours for a month or two out. And it was hustling. It was hard work. It was tiresome. But you know, not having the funding that a major label would put behind you or the advertising, you just got to think outside the box and see how you can sustain and live artistically, you know, and financially, and do what you love.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's, you know, indie artists, we all at some point have probably complained a little bit that we don't have the backing of a label. But on the flip side, that gives us a lot more autonomy and freedom, and we can try things, you know, that don't have to go through a bunch of testing and, you know, so there's advantages to doing what we do. And at the end of the day, no one's going to yell at you, kick you off your label if your song is streamed one time or 10 million times. So you can kind of keep doing your creative vision is how I like to think about it.
Right. I think that the hardest part of today's world and music is the saturation. Yeah. They're people's attention span, because, you know, people's attention span is lost very quickly. And so if you don't catch them in that split second, you know, you can lose people. And people move on quickly. So how do you stay interesting? How do you keep that engagement?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I was chatting with on social media, I don't remember if it was Twitter or Instagram, one of the fans we were talking, I was like, hey, you know, Justin Bieber's new song, Anyone, is a great song. I'm like, and the video is really cool. It reminds me of Rocky, you know, Eye of the Tiger, Survivor, that kind of stuff. And their response floored me. Their response was like, music videos, nobody watches that. Nobody watches music videos anymore. And this was someone in their teens. So I was like, can you imagine, like, you know, I put out a new music video every month, and that's quite a bit of work. But this response that nobody watches music videos anymore. And I'm thinking, wow, is that, I mean, people are watching nonstop videos on TikTok and YouTube, and to hear a teenager say that, I was floored.
Right.
I was shocked, actually.
Right. Well, maybe a, you know, 2 or 3 minute song is too long when you can watch something for, you know, 12 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's disturbing.
Well, and if you think about it, right, if Justin Bieber, Taylor Swift, you know, I wish I had that kind of budget to make a cool story and a cool video. But to hear that no one watches, I'm like, wow. You know, it's like, well, then how do you, like, what should we focus on? Obviously, it's all about the song. But that just really threw me for a loop, because I just did not expect to hear that from a teenager.
Right, right. Oof, it's struggling times in the music industry. But, you know, I would probably say do it only if you love it.
Absolutely. And, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to appeal to your fans. You'll try to get a new fan or two every day, and you're going to keep going down your journey. I'm going to keep going down my journey. And if we're all civil and polite and nice to each other and we're not full of shit, at the end of the day, I think that's kind of all that matters. Do me a favor. Give us your website. Where can people stream, buy your music? Where can they find out more about you?
Yeah, you can go to my website at www.wittenmusic.com, and I'm on a lot of the platforms like Instagram and Facebook and YouTube especially. But I'm not so much on Twitter, but it's just all, you know, .com/wittenmusic. So any of those musical platforms, social media platforms, I'm on.
Awesome. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. And if anybody's curious about my tequila, I would definitely go to www.elsativo.com. So ELSATIVO. tequilaproject.com.
And what do you foresee happening with your tequila? Like, you know, any exciting news for 2021?
Yes, we, well, we have our Repo and Añejo coming out this spring. And we are the core brand of Whole Foods. So if you're a fan of Whole Foods, yeah. And so we're moving very, very quickly. We have about 22 states that we're being passed in this year. So a lot of work, and a lot of, you know, I'm going to be writing music and inspired by our ultimate giggle juice. but yeah, a lot on the horizon for El Sativa and a lot on the horizon for my music.
Awesome. Well, you know, before we let you go, I have an important question for you.
Yes.
What's your favorite 90s jam?
Oh, gosh, there's so many 90s jam. I was just listening to Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians. Are you familiar?
That first one sounds familiar. What? Give me a song that they've done.
What I am is what I am.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Edie.
All right, cool. All right, Whitten. I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Yeah, we can't close that, though. I got to know what your 90s favorite jam is.
Man, God, there's so many. You know, I'm an 80s child. So to me, I think of like Eye of the Tiger, you know, Don't Stop Believing, Journey. So even though that's not 90s, that's probably, those are probably my top two that I listened to even in the 90s.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Sorrentos. Really, really appreciate your time and having me on this show.
You're welcome, Whitten. I want to thank you so much for being on the show and be happy to have you on again anytime. And I hope your tequila takes off and you sell it for $1 billion like George Clooney or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
No problem. Have a great night.
You too. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
No problem. I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. Thank you for spending some time with me tonight on The Songwriter Show. And thank you to Whitten again for being on the show. If anybody wishes to be on the show, I invite you to just reach out to me. I hope everyone's unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sorrentos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at The Songwriter Show. And tonight, I'm going to leave you with one of my brand new songs that just came out on New Year's called COVID Survivor. It's the title song for the album this year. 2020 was a difficult year for all of us. A lot of us have had COVID, but even those of us that haven't have surely been affected by it in some way. This song is about my story and my struggle with COVID. The last line asks a haunting question, and it's the question on everybody's mind. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you for tuning in. I love you guys. And I'll see you next Tuesday night.
I let my guard down for a second. That's all it took. The virus took over my body, my muscles shook. There's plenty of blame to go around, but it doesn't matter. What matters is sure.
My only wish this year is to exist and beat this sickness. Cold is just a story, a headline dominating the news. It's just something that happens to others until it happens to happened to me. It was so scary. Didn't know if I'd make it. Would I pull through?
Have you ever felt this way too? That first day was the heaviest, no one to hurt. Stayed outside for a whole week to protect the ones I love. Chewing was forced by body bags. Nothing else matters.
My only wish this year is to exist and beat this sickness.
Cold is just a story, a headline dominating the news. It's just something that happens to others until it happens to me. It was so scary.
Didn't know if I'd make it. Would I pull through?
Have you ever felt this way too?
To the Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.
Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.